Let's start from Colossians tonight. We just start somewhere. Some of us are already tipsy. It should take very little for us to just fall over now, you know. Colossians. Alright, we've been looking at the fundamentals of our transfer, and I think where we almost read that we didn't read last week were called Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. So we're going to continue tonight. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm full of the Spirit. I express the Spirit. I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Colossians chapter 3, are you there? I want to read from verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Hallelujah. Again, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Notice this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So if we focus on the word richly and all wisdom, richly simply means that the reality of who you and I are in Christ, which is a testimony written in the epistles, dwells in you richly. It says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. You see, the basis of every action, the basis of every belief system, is what dwells in us by time. So when it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it tells you what the content of that word should be. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. That's the anointed one with his anointing. The word Christ there refers to the body of Christ. Not just the words of Jesus, the word of Christ. The word Christ represents or refers to is ascended and seated position. So it says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, or to the point of executing or doing certain things. Wisdom means your ability to execute things based on your understanding. It says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the first word there says let, and that's a word you will find consistent in all the epistles of Paul. The word let means allow. So you notice that the language that the Spirit of God uses to address the believer is a language of permission. It means these things abide in you. You are wired for such things. You are created this way, crafted with the ability to bring this forth. Now let, or allow this to flow forth this way. So last week when we were looking at 1 Corinthians 14, we noticed that the instructions that were given, none was written in such a way as to persuade believers that they have something. It was that now that you have, this is how to deploy or to use what you have. Hallelujah. Now, if the Bible says you have, it's a testimony of what was given to you at salvation. Listen very carefully. Everything we're learning in church, based on the testimony of scriptures, is a record of what has happened, which took place the instant you were born again. So when it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it means the word will give you the necessary information and revelation concerning what has taken place already. It took place in the unseen part of you, your spirit, which the Bible calls the hidden man of the heart. But God doesn't want that part of you to be hidden. So when he's addressing the saint, he's addressing you based on the fact that you are a recreated spirit in Christ Jesus. He now says, let. Let means allow. It means you have the power to forbid or to allow. That's what it means. Now, again, the religion teaches us that except God permits. In fact, we say things like, I will see you tomorrow by God's grace. And there's nothing wrong with that statement, as long as you understand what by God's grace means. If it is by the divine lottery, as some people call grace, you are wrong. I will see you tomorrow if God permits. Define what you mean. Because more often than not, people think that God has what you call a shifting way of doing things, and he may allow, he may not allow. But the word of God is the surest thing in the universe. So if God has promised you life, he won't go against what he has promised you. Hallelujah. So if you're saying you're taking a trip on Friday, even if God doesn't want you to go, on the inside of you will know, not that God goes all out to stop you. So the Bible says, let means that you are wired in such a way as to initiate things. To initiate things. That's what let means. You can initiate. That's what it means. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Why should the word dwell in you? To give you a full understanding to the point where you can apply these truths. So it says, let the word of Christ, which is your identification with him, let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom, or to the point of practicing it. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5. Remember what we looked at last week? Are you in 1 Corinthians? Okay. Jump with me all the way to verse 37. Let me start from there. I want to show you one or two things, because we said one or two things last week. 1 Corinthians 14. Are you there? See? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. So, again, last week, we noticed the fact that the instructions written in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul tells us these instructions are not suggestions. They are commandments of the Lord concerning New Testament practice. In other words, if any among you thinks that to be a prophet or spiritual, so I want you to notice how it describes a mature believer. It says a prophet or spiritual, they are referring to the same person. So let's pick one phrase, spiritual. If anybody among you is spiritual or thinks it's spiritual, let him acknowledge that these things I've written to you, which he must have experienced in practice, are the commandments of the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, how do you show you're a baby Christian? A baby Christian says, one of these days, God will make me speak. A mature Christian understands that speaking is the birthright of every single born-again Christian. Ability to give forth utterance is the birthright of every single Christian. At the instance of salvation, in the book of Acts, the first thing that was expressed was not a shout, it was utterance. If it was utterance, and that was how they started, that is how we are meant to continue. So a baby Christian will say, a baby Christian, someone who is kind of who is not spiritual, will say, one of these days God will make me. A mature believer understands the scriptures, that instructions have been given concerning how I'm meant to deploy, how I'm meant to express the utterance that already is already resident on my inside. So the language of the New Testament to the new creation is let or allow. So there is no discussion about if you have utterance. If you don't have utterance, you're not saved. If you're born again, it comes with a package. Before Christ went to the cross, he said, in my name, they will speak with other tongues. In my name means that after they step into my status, after they receive the new birth, after salvation is come, they will be able to speak with other tongues. So utterance automatically goes with salvation. You notice in Acts chapter 2, they were all filled and began to speak. In Acts chapter 10, while Peter was yet preaching, they began to speak in tongues. What happened? They were saved and utterance came along with it. Hallelujah. So the instructions we find in 1 Corinthians 14, the first half of it focuses on those who are babes or who are undeveloped in spiritual things. So we see in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, the Bible says in verse 1, it says that follow after love and desire spiritual things. What does it say? Verse 1, look at verse 1 again. Let's run through it quickly. Follow after love and desire what? Spirituals, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I will that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that you want? Prophesy. In other words, when it comes to giving expression to utterance gifts, there is prioritization. And the prioritization has a lot to do with the understanding of the believer. So prioritization when it comes to utterance gifts is not a function of what the Spirit does. It's a function of what you and I do, knowing that we have the Spirit. Say amen. Let me say that again. Prioritization, according to instructions here, is not what the Spirit does when He wills. It is what we do because we will. In fact, so He gives step-by-step guideline concerning what to do with utterance because He knows you have utterance. Since you have utterance, He now tells you step-by-step what you are meant to do or what to prioritize. Very important. Verse 5 again. He says, I will that ye speak with tongues, but rather, say rather. That's the language of priority. But rather you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive what? Edifying. So when he says greater there, the word greater is not addressing the individual, is addressing what the individual does. Let me say that again. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interprets that all may receive what? The church may receive one edifying. So the word greater there is the one of more benefit, of greater use. Remember where it started from. It says, follow after love and desire spirituals, but rather you may prophesy. So if prophecy is speaking unto men, edification, exhortation, and comfort, we are to prioritize prophecy for one singular purpose. It will bless men. So blessing men is what is uppermost in God's mind. And that's why it says follow after love. What will love do? It will look out for the welfare of others. So it says if you are following the activity of love on your inside, it is safe for you to not desire what? The things of the Spirit. When you desire those things, remember as you are desiring, you are not desiring because they are coming from outside in. You are desiring because they are coming from inside out. Desire is a function of your mind. The slant of your mind is what determines what you desire. So it says, through your desire, you will draw out the gift that will be of the greatest benefit to the church, particularly your local assembly. Say amen. So it says, I will that you all speak with tongues, which is, I am not belittling tongues. I'm saying you can move on from tongues to something deeper. So I will that you all speak with tongues, but rather there, you can phrase that in order that you may prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies. So if you're not careful, you will think he's referring to the saint who is prophesying as greater. But what he's actually saying is that the saint who gives himself to prophecy deliberately is offering better service and is actually of greater benefit to the body than the one who simply speaks in tongues and stops. So the question is this, why do some speak only in tongues and stop? Is it because the Spirit stopped or they stopped according to the instructions that we have? It is because they stopped. How do we know? I would that you all speak with tongues in order that you may prophesy. In other words, the same ability it takes to speak with tongues is the ability it takes to interpret. Hallelujah. Listen, brothers and sisters, you must get this part. It's so important. We have unconsciously in our minds separated the utterance gifts in manifestation. What do I mean by that? I mean that some actually believe and all Kala can do is speak in tongues. It is given to some others to interpret. If the language of Scripture is anything to believe and to follow, and it is, it says, I would that you all, say we all, say we all. Then he now says, the next thing you're going to do after you speak in tongues is this. Do you want to minister or be of greater benefit to others, or you want to be selfish? If you want to be of greater benefit to others, after you've spoken, which is the initiation of the process, end it by interpreting it. It is called prophecy. Hallelujah. It's called prophecy. I would that you speak in tongues in order that you may prophesy. In order that you may. So, it's a means to an end, never an end in itself. And it's talking about ministering in a local assembly. So, when I'm praying in tongues in my private life at home, I am ministering to God. What I'm saying, the Bible says, is a mystery. It's not a mystery to God. At the point in time in which I'm praying, it's a mystery to my mind. God knows what I'm talking about. Jesus knows what I'm talking about. The Holy Ghost knows what I'm talking about. My spirit knows what I'm talking about. My mind is the only part of me that is not flowing. Hallelujah. Does that mean it's useless? No, it's of great benefit. I'm speaking secret mysteries of secret truths with God. So, but when I come to the midst of the saints, it's a different matter. When I come to the midst of the saints, I am not going to stay with tongues alone. So there is tongues which is between you and God, directed towards God. There is tongues directed towards the saints. It should be backed up by interpretation. Again, the interpretation is not the private repository of some. It's not exclusive to some. It is the purview of all. Hallelujah. It's the purview of all. It's so important that you understand that. Now, you notice that the past few weeks that we've been practicing, I have deliberately not included keyboard or ask where I might just go and sing. It's deliberate. I want us to practice dry. So that you know that it works. It's not because of keyboard. Keyboard will help many of us. But it is better if we practice dry, get into the flow, than keyboard on the night of the 28th, we work. Hallelujah. You come and say, we were even doing this thing. You just told us, just get up. I even need more time to pray. You don't need more time to pray. Just believe. The song or not the song doesn't encourage the spirit, it encourages you. You know, it's very funny, some of the religious things are, when we are singing this song, the head of God just swells. It just gets excited. No, you are the one getting excited. It remains the same. You are the one who is suddenly having a greater consciousness of God. You know, so that's why when we sing some songs, some people will dance until they fall down. And it's not necessarily the spirit. You know the song, "How big is my God?" Because in his mind, the moment they say how big, he's doing like this. Now, that song is helping him comprehend God. So he is getting excited. It doesn't mean God is getting excited. Do you understand? I didn't say the song is wrong because some of you are looking. I'm trying to explain something to you about when we magnify God, we are the ones that benefit. He has always been big, but you have only seen little of him per time. So the more you capture, to magnify means to make something that is not fully revealed bigger in your sight. So God grows bigger, not on his throne, in your consciousness. And when it grows bigger in your consciousness, you begin to resonate to that vision, to that revelation. Then excitement comes. Hallelujah. Listen. So the Bible says, "I would that you all." So it's something I'm encouraging all of you to do, but understand how to deploy, how to use it. In chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says by saying, "Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." If you read that in just King James, it looks like him. It just says, "Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." It looks like something passive. Actually, the intention behind that statement is this: "Now concerning things of the spirit, brethren, I cannot tolerate your ignorance." I can no longer tolerate your ignorance. That was what Paul was saying. And you guys can't remain babes forever. So they had a preponderance of utterances in manifestation to the point where they were misusing it. Paul was not saying, some of you even think the way this thing operates in spirit comes off and on. Some of you are like, you know, we can just use it anyhow. This is how to use it and draw benefit. But Paul never mentioned how it comes, because they already had it. Hallelujah. It's so important. So after verse 1 from chapter 14, all the way down to verse 7, it now says that, "If any of you seem to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that things are written at the command of the Lord. If any man be ignorant," ignorance there is no longer being unaware of the truth. It means you have heard the truth, but you choose not to act on it. "Let him be ignorant still." That's what Paul now says. You know what that means? It means rejection of the truth. What am I saying? Some of the things we're teaching and we're looking at this series, in certain assemblies, it is heresy. Because in their minds, they have convinced themselves, you can't flow that way except God wants to. Here's what they don't understand. Divine initiative was given to you and became born again. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 says, "I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit." Notice that they say, God will make me sing. I will sing. So will is designed to release spirit. Your will release the spirit inside of you in expression. That's what the Bible says. Will permits or forbids. Hallelujah. So when it says, what is it then? It's coming with the thoughts. What was the previous thought? If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is what? unfruitful. Am I meant to leave my understanding unfruitful? No, I have a choice. I can, I may not. What is it then? What do I do? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also, or in the same manner. How did you pray in the Spirit? By will. How should you pray in understanding? By will. How do you sing in the Spirit? By will. How do you sing in understanding? By will. So nothing in that chapter speaks of God making you. Do people still believe God makes them? Yes. Is that a valid level? Yes. What level does the Bible call that? Babe. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. So you are the one who determines whether you are a babe or whether you are spiritual. If they say you are a babe in Christ and you have been born again for any length of time, it is not a commendation, it's an insult. It means though you are a mature man in Christ, when I say mature, your spirit is mature in Christ, when it comes to how much your mind has appreciated, you are underdeveloped, undernourished. You have refused to grow, that's what it means. So it's not because truths were not offered to you, it's because the truths that were offered, you didn't walk in the reality of it. And so you have stayed in the same place for such a long time. Hallelujah. So important that we understand that. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, are we there? Back to 1 Corinthians 14, please. Verse 39. Sorry, I'm jumping. I want to bring out some facts, and then we'll start flowing tonight. Verse 37 again, please. Let's go from verse 37 to verse 39. I want to show you something. See what it says. If any man thinks himself to be what? To be what? Or, so is it safe to say the word prophet and word spiritual are the same? Is that okay? So it says, if any man thinks that to be a prophet or spiritual, let him what? Acknowledge. That the things that write unto you are what? Say commandments. So, one we just read that I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding, they are commandments. They are instruction on how to administrate utterance gifts. Look at the next thing it says. But if any man be what? Ignorant. Or, if any man willfully rejects knowledge, let him remain in that condition. He has chosen to be a babe. Look at the next verse. Wherefore, brethren, hallelujah. Listen carefully. Covet to what? Then what? Forbid not to. It's amazing what is contained in this line of scriptures. Wherefore, or for this sake, brethren, who is it writing to? Those who are spiritual. What should they do? Covet to prophesy. How do you do that? By forbidding not to speak in tongues. Let me say that again. If I forbid to speak in tongues, I can't be converting to prophesy. Because he has just told us that it is by speaking in tongues that I can enter into prophecy. So the minute I forbid tongues, I can't convert prophecy. The way I show I convert prophecy is that I must embrace tongues. That's what he's saying. Then notice he says, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let me say something that may surprise you a little bit. Please bear with me. Forbid not implies that the utterance is there, but someone or some of us are stopping it from coming. Listen, I can't tell you I forbid anyone to come into this room if no one is willing to come to that room. Have you noticed that? Does that make sense? I can't forbid anyone to come into a particular place except there are people who are willing to come there. So when it says forbid none, the implication is this. That there's something that wants to come out that you are stopping from coming out. So the utterance is so much in you, he actually says it will even want to come out after a while. Don't forbid it. Forbid not to speak in tongues or convert to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. So the less I forbid speaking, the more I'll be able to prophesy. The more I forbid what? Speaking, the less I'll be able to prophesy. Do you get what I'm saying tonight? They are connected. He's telling a believer, forbid not to speak with tongues. Then you can convert to prophesy. So the only way to convert to prophesy is, I forbid not speaking in tongues. In other words, it is through speaking in tongues that I enter into the prophecy which I'm converting. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Verse 27. See what it says, verse 27. Verse 27. For if any man thinks that to be a prophet or spiritual. Did you see that phrase again? That was something verse. You see? If any man think himself. So, the one thing there means spiritual maturity is a function of your mind. And now you are now thinking. How much of God's word you've embraced and you're walking in, which affects your way of thinking, is what it means how spiritual you are. So it says, if any man think himself to be one, a prophet or spiritual. Let him acknowledge. Verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, listen, let it by two or the most by three, and that by cause, and let one interpret. Next verse. But if that don't be interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak himself unto God. Verse 29. This is where we're going. See what it says. Let the prophets or let those who are spiritual do what? Speak. How many? Two or three, and let the other judge. Next verse. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first do what? Hold the space. So, here's what he's saying. Now we're in a meeting. Those who are spiritual, once they start speaking, here is the pattern of what happens. When someone spiritual is speaking, the utterance is bringing forth, listen, will release what others who are spiritual have. Let me put it this way. When anyone who is spiritually matured is speaking forth in utterance gifts, prophesying, whatever he ministers, you usually activate what other people who are spiritual already have. So many times when somebody else is giving forth an utterance, which is meant to edify the saints, others who are spiritual like he is may be seeing a vision, or may have a sudden revelation, or may pick up a psalm as a result of what the first person said. Hallelujah. Notice what he says again. He says, if anything be revealed to another by, who is one sitting by? Another of those who are spiritual. Go back to the previous verse, please. Verse 29 again. Let me say, let the prophets or let those who are spiritual speak. How many? Two or three, and let the other judge. To judge means to examine what is said or to pay attention to it until you can bring forth a greater blessing to the congregation. Let me say it another way. The reason why every one of us is practicing is because we may all prophesy one by one. It's in the Bible, in case you think I just made it up. It's in verse 31. We've not gotten there. But we are now examining different operations. There are times when we allow people who are spiritual to start the meeting. What does it mean spiritual? They understand spiritual flow because the word of God dwells in them richly. For that word them richly is that they have absorbed what is written and they have given expression to it in private practice over and over again until they've mastered the flow. So when they start the meeting, whatever they started with would encourage all of us. Do you understand? Do you get it? So, you know, many times when it comes to things of the Spirit, when you see others flow, it becomes easier for you to flow, isn't it? Yeah. If you see somebody bringing forth a spiritual song and you are giving to songs or to singing, what they've just done or demonstrated will, so to speak, give you a direction concerning how do I start also. In fact, it is not wrong for you to go and meet a popular person. Brother Sonny, how do you start your songs? The way you how do you start? Because the way you think he does it may not be the way you're exactly doing it. So many times when I'm bringing forth a psalm, I have many times explained to us that, listen, it's not as though they open my head and now show me verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. That's what some of us think. No, that's not how it starts. A word or a phrase, many times how it starts. You have to have enough boldness to give that word or that phrase. So many times, sometimes you may give the word three times before the others that follow that word come. Here is the confidence you must have. You must believe there is more beyond that first word you spoke. I've jumped a major step. I'll try and back up. You must believe there is more where that came from. Because then the principle of to him that has, more shall be given. How do we know he has? He's giving what he believes he has. What does it mean more shall be given? More will begin to flow forth because he has given what he has. So it is not wrong for you to give the same, which is you spoke the same word three times. There's no number. Seven times. If you like, say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you persist, it will flow out. You need to understand how these things work. Is that how you will continue forever? No. You get better. That's how you started. That's not how you will continue. Because the child that is starting out spiritual things also, or in physical things also, starts saying, da, 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 da. No child at 6 months old wakes up and just says, daddy, me. If you see one, it's a sign. If you see a child of 9 months late, may I have my food now, please? Go to Guinness Book of World Records and call the attention of CNN that the 12th wonder of the world is my house. Why? No child starts up with complete vocabulary stringing sentences together that boys of 4 or 5 are not even doing yet. No. If you see one, it's a sign. What is normal order? You will start out. You may stammer some, but you continue. You become, so to speak, better at the expression. So when 2 or 3 people who are spiritual start, what happens is that when one is speaking, the others who are spiritual are listening, because many times what he says will open up what they have. Do you understand? So it says, let one or two speak, let the other judge. If anything is revealed, so one from what another person is saying, the other person will be receiving a revelation from it. Then the person will get up and now speak after the other person has spoken and give us a better picture. It is like God to give 3, 4, 5 people the same message in a different way until the 4 or 5 of them say it and the full picture is complete. How many of you and some of them? It's like God. Why? We have the same spirit as he has. Amen? So important. So, verse 26 now makes sense. Look at verse 26. Makes sense. How is it then? Say, I am brethren. I am brethren. They are talking to me. I am brethren. I am bread. I am brethren. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Colossians 3:16 that we read. Let, allow, permit the word of Christ to dwell in you how? Richly. So in my private life, I've been meditating. What was I meditating on? What you are meditating on may be, let's say, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 12. Now we have received, not the spirit which is of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know. So I have a spirit that knows. Which things also we speak, not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comprehend spiritual things. I can explain and give expression to supernatural things with supernatural utterances. That's what the Bible says. That's the record of God concerning me. That's the testimony of Christ concerning me. I'm meditating concerning those things. I am God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. I am the head and not the tail. I'm seated with him who is the head. So my consciousness is filled with those scriptures. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Listen carefully. When it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, not allowing the world to dwell in you richly, you will give false prophecies. If you don't know that the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation, you will prophesy condemnation. Sister, the Lord is judging you. Watch your ways. That's no longer prophecy. Prophecy speaking unto men, edification, exhortation, and comfort. There's no edification or comfort there. There's condemnation there. Why do people give such prophecies? Because the word of Christ is not dwelling in them richly. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Let me give you another scenario. Some people who, in quotes, have visions of heaven. Why do they see some things that they see? Do they see those things? Yes. Why do they see those things? Mostly because of the state of their minds. When you are in the realm of the spirit, you don't just enter that realm and everything is perfect. Whatever you see, and now interpret what you see in the realm of the spirit, is a function of the how developed your mind is or how renewed your mind is. So if your mind is not renewed to certain truths, your interpretation will be off completely. It is how people brought forth. I saw that lady at the gate. They sent her back because she was wearing attachments. If you understand from the scriptures that it's not possible for a spirit to have attachment on, you will know the vision you are seeing must be wrong. Or you are not interpreting. How many of you understand what you said? Do spirits wear attachments? Do spirits wear earrings? So spirits wear trousers? You know, just think about how silly some visions can be. You will not come forward with vision and say that, I saw Jesus begging God, crying profusely, don't destroy them. If you've seen where it is written in the scriptures, in that day, Isaiah chapter 12 verse 1, hallelujah, thou shalt say, I will praise thee, O Lord, for thou wast angry with me, but now thy anger is turned away. Now. We're in the now. Let Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. When Isaiah was saying it, Isaiah couldn't taste it. It was far away for Isaiah. It was things that he was saying that was like, he felt like they should just tell me now. This is too good to be true. He was seeing it. He couldn't taste it. Now we have received. Hey. Glory to God. Now we have received. So when we say things like God, you see, that's, you know, till now, they are still fighting when we say things like, I seen somebody that came to me after service when we were in Arona, when I said that, when I said, God can never be angry. Say, ah, man of God. It's not like that too. Don't leave people astray. These last days, you have to be careful. How can you say God can't be angry? It's a consuming fire. I say, God's not, God can be angry. Oh. He's angry with sin every day. The words of the law, they are full of it. But the word of Christ is not dwelling in them richly. They've never been able to divide the word of truth rightly. Those things they are saying, are they in the scriptures? Yes. Are they evident now? No. That is in the Bible doesn't mean it is now in operation. The Bible says, rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. So to rightly divide, Isaiah's prophecy has been fulfilled now in Christ Jesus. What did Isaiah say? In that day, the word thou, it means you. Who is you? The one who is enjoying salvation now. Thou shalt say, thou was angry with me, but now thy anger is turned away. Hallelujah. Pastor, let's go to Isaiah 12, please. This is how you get the content of the words that will allow prophecy to flow forth. In that day, thou shalt say, which day is that? Which day is that? The day of salvation. Though thou was angry with me, thy anger is what? Turned away. And thou dost what? Comforts me. You have the comforter now. Hallelujah. Look at the next verse. Behold, or see, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be one. Fear has been conquered. Fear has been forever conquered. So 1 John chapter 4 verse 16 is true now. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And in that dwelleth in God. Then the Lord dwelleth in God. Perfect love casts out what? Fear. Behold, I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my what? Salvation. Therefore with joy. Will you draw waters out of wells of what? Not with fear, with joy. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. With joy means that with complete assurance, with complete confidence, sit at the table, son, daughter, eat, drink to overflowing. The table was prepared for you. With joy shall you draw waters. Not with fear. Fear has been banished. It's gone. With absolute confidence in what he has done. That's where our joy is. You draw waters from the wells of salvation. Notice he won't draw it for you. You are meant to draw it. You do it with excitement, with confidence. So when you are bringing forth utterance, you are drawing waters from the wells of salvation. It's not a hit and miss affair. It is certain. It's sure. It is inside of you. Hallelujah. It's inside of you. It's certainly sure. With joy you draw waters out of the wells. The wells are inside of you now. So how is them, brethren? When you come together, every one of you, what an audacious statement. Every one of you, heirs of salvation. Blessed in Christ Jesus. Every one of you, called brethren. Every one of you, partakers of divine inheritance. Every one of you. As a tongue, as a psalm, as a hymn, as an interpretation. But let all things be done unto edifying. 1 Corinthians 14:26. So the instructions that are there are how to administrate those things. When you come, every one of you has a psalm, a tongue. A revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done unto one edifying. Hallelujah. Let everything be done unto edifying. But every one of you, say, I have. The Bible says I have. I have what the Bible says I have. I'm who the word says I am. Hallelujah. Every one of you has. In speaking to those who are spiritual, let them acknowledge that these instructions are commandments. They're not suggestions. Every one of you has. These are instructions. They are commandments. They're not suggestions. Every one of you has. And because every one of you has, he now gives instructions on how do you deploy, you use what you have. So we're no longer discussing whether you have. It's a foregone conclusion. You have. We have received the Spirit, not of the world, but the Spirit of God. If you have that Spirit, that nature, then you have. All trances abide in you tonight. Glory to God. That's where you start from. So he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Without that word dwelling in you richly, you will misyan. Permit us. I'm about to be cleansed. You will give funny prophecies. I have no root in scriptures. Because your mind is not renewed. That's the problem. So the word of Christ grants granting you reach means that your mind is inundated with truths. You've lain in green pastures for a long time. The waters have stilled your soul. Now you are walking the path of righteousness for your namesake. So even when attacks come, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, where did they come from? From that which you have fed upon long before now. So you are able to bring edification to the saints. Your hymns edify. Your psalms edify. Your interpretations edify. But where do I start from? That's where the issue is. Where do I start from? Like we saw last week. So verse 6 now. Are you coming along? Oh, so important. Verse 6, sir. Now, brethren, if I come unto you. So now we have moved over to what? Coming unto others. You've left private fellowship. You've left the time when you were defining yourself. Now you are coming unto others. If I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I what? Profit you. What was the instruction? Follow after love, verse 1. And desire things of the Spirit, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. Why do you need to prophesy? Greater is he that prophesies than he that what? Speak with tongues. Greater, of more benefit. So say, if I come unto you speaking tongues, what will I profit you? What should be my aim when I'm speaking? To bring profit to others. So tonight, many of us are going to go to others. When you are going to them, you are going with tongues. But you must not stop at tongues. That's what the scripture teaches. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. Some things can only stick by practice. If you come to me and say, I should pray for you as your pastor, 2-3 things are in operation. The first thing is your honor of that office. The second thing is my response to that honor. The third thing is God consistently wants to bless you, which the minister must be aware of. So that whether he's tired or not, it doesn't change what God wants to do. So whether I look at you or you ask me to pray for a child, not the child that is sick now, a child as well, you just want me to bless the child. Why am I confident I can bring out supernatural utterance and speak by revelation concerning that child future or whatever needs to be said? Because I know I only need to will. I just need to what? Will. That's all. Why? The wells are inside. The rivers are present. When Jesus said, he said that, John chapter 14. Come back. I pray we'll come back here. John chapter 14, verse 16. Look at what Jesus said. Let's read verse 16. Right? All right, so let's see what's in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another what? Comforter. That he may what? Abide with you for. How long will I abide with you? Even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, yet knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So he said, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another what? Comforter. When you're reading this in the Gospels now, realize that was before the crucifixion. That was before resurrection. I will pray the Father, he will give you another what? Comforter. Chapter 16. We'll go fully into this next week, hopefully. Verse 12. No. Verse 7. Are you there? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That is not English. What Jesus said is not English. So if you are following, depart, go away. They said, I'm the one hindering him from coming. If I go now in my journey now, he will soon come. As long as I say he won't come. What does he mean by go away? I will go and die. After 3 days, I will raised up. When I'm raised up, I will ascend. When I ascend, I will sit. When I sit, the Holy Ghost belongs to me. And I can give him to whosoever I will. That's what Jesus meant by, if I go not away, he won't come. He won't come means that the process that I will need to go through to secure the Holy Ghost to give to the saints is death, burial, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and sitting. That's what you just summarized in that statement. No wonder I kept saying, there are many things I want to say to you, but you can't bear them now. So he was saying things in parables because he said, the little have said, sorrow has filled your heart. Peter was looking like this. No more fish. No more 3 days. To the point where even the mother-in-law was sick, he took Jesus personally from crusade to his house to heal the mother. You only say you are going away. You can't go away. If I go not, the comforter, let him not come. You stay. No matter what, it is expedient. It's not expedient, Coco. This is the best thing that can happen. The word explained is to your advantage. You say, no. They will feel sorrow. So what I'm saying, if I go not away, the comforter won't come. That means Jesus saying that, see, there are better things in store than what you're experiencing. But this verse says, until I sit, I can't receive of the Father, the Holy Ghost, in the dimension in which he can stay with you forever. Why? He has never stayed with anyone forever. Never. He will visit, he will manifest, but never in the way he's manifesting you as a son. Never. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, 1 Corinthians 2, 12 now says, now we have received not the spirit gifts of the world, but the spirit gifts what? Of God. That we may know the things which are freely given us of God. Next week I will show you why the spirit that was upon the prophets in the Old Testament is different from the spirit that's upon us. What we have is superior to what they had. What they had was searching. What we have knows. Hallelujah. What they had was searching. What we have doesn't search, it knows. By very nature. I will define what it means to have the spirit without measure. Those phrases that are there, what it means. Because the new creation is bigger than what you think. Hence the instructions that we have in the epistles concerning the new creation. It's bigger than what you think. You know, unconsciously in our mind, though we are new creations, we now follow Old Testament instructions to administer the new creation that we fail. I mean, I see many prayer meetings. 25 years ago, our favorite song when we are very heavy in prayer is, oh God, come down and manifest your power. Oh God, come down. You even feel spiritual. Oh God, you see, in your mind, you're thinking, Satan will soon run now. Oh God, come down. And then when you feel that the frenzy increases, that no darkness will be able to see now. Oh God, come down. See, minor, and manifest your power. That was all we knew. It took me years to find out that he must have been singing to us. Oh son, go on and manifest my power. Oh son, go on and manifest. I'm telling you, that was just it. Why couldn't he manifest power? Because it was contrary to what he has said. And he can't lie. He said, you resist the devil and he will flee from you. You are light in darkness and darkness can't comprehend you. That's what he said. That's how he constituted you. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Be sober, be vigilant. Have a sane way of thinking. For your advice, they will go about like royal, seeking whom to divorce. He can't divorce just anybody. So he has to seek. This one looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. Hey, that one was saying, hey, see, you shall cry. That's why he said he's going about seeking whom he has to see. He doesn't just approach just anybody. But when he knows, you know, whom resists steadfast in the faith. That's what the Bible says concerning him. He told the new creation, neither give place to the devil. That means it's you that permits. I mean, that's what it means. And I bring prayer, oh God, rebuke the devil. Jesus prayer can't be answered. Contrary to the spirit of the New Testament. Because we're completing him, who is the head of all principality and power. If he has to do it in your place, he must have lied in his word. And he can't lie. He made you complete in him. He made you sit together with him. He said the enemy is under your feet. Before he even ascended, before he died and he rose, he told disciples, behold, I give unto you power. And that was temporal, to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and above all powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means. He told that to people that handled delegated authority. Now you have the real thing. No, instead of having to come down, he said, you are here. I don't need to come down. I'm in you, you are in me, we are one. Give expression to the life that we have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, this is not, we're not preaching, it's not psychology. This is life as it is in the scriptures. If I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I come, I speak, I prioritize profiting you, not God, I. Everything rests on my shoulders. 1 Corinthians 14:6. And then we'll soon stop now. And then we'll go ahead and minister to one another. Glory to God. We'll go ahead and minister to one another. Now, brother, if I come unto you, do one. Speaking with what? What shall what? I. Who comes speaking? Hi. Who is meant to bring profit? Hi. Except I speak to you by what? By revelation, by knowledge, or by prophesy, or by doctrine. So no problem. Is it okay to start with tongues? Yes. What should I end with? I must end with revelation, doctrine, prophesying, or knowledge. That's all. The same tongues I give must now be ministered. The interpretation of it must come in those four dimensions. And it says, it is my choice. So if I come to you with tongues, I can choose to sing the message in understanding. I'm the one who chooses to sing, not God. Me, it's me. That's singing it. It's me. Hallelujah. It's me. I'm trying my best to get you away from this mindset that, pastor, it's only if God will allow. He has allowed. Believe me, he has allowed. The word of God says he has allowed. If I come to you, how is them, brethren? When you come together, say we have come together. And let me say this. When we come together, there's a stronger unction to minister that way than when you are on your own. Somebody says, why? Because the brethren are here and brethren need to be edified. So there's a stronger unction at work for you to minister because we have come together than the one that's at work when you are privately fellowshipping on your own. So the guarantee according to Jesus, it says, when you come together, you have a 100% guarantee that you have something. Somebody says, why? Because we have come together and we're one body. By one spirit, I've been baptized in one body. I've been meant to drink into one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. We have all been made to drink into one spirit. So, when we come together, what is the guarantee? Every one of you has. Every one of you has. Pastor, the way I'm feeling, actually, I'm not really sure that, babe, canal, babe, identify yourself, occupying the room, paying the rent in the room of the Olanet, stop paying rent. Let's eject you. Leave that room. Occupy another place. The way you are feeling, and others who are spiritual feeling that way, yes. What have they learned? Not to follow their feeling, but to follow the word of God. So when you feel like, I don't think I have. Stop following the feeling. The feeling will come, but the feeling is not how you flow. Faith is how you flow. Hallelujah. To be carnal or to be a babe means to follow your feelings. That is why some people don't believe God is present until there is goosebumps. The day the goosebumps doesn't come, God didn't come to church that day. Brethren, the way I'm feeling, God is here. No, before you said he's here, we know he's here because we are here, according to scriptures. Thank God for your feeling. But we know he's here. And we don't know he's here because of the way you feel. We know he's here because the word says one. Yeah. So how you feel doesn't determine spiritual flow except you permit it to. The Bible says, how shall I profit you? So I can walk up to anybody here tonight with tongues. If I come to you speaking in tongues, how shall I profit you? Like we said last week, all I need to do is this. I can stand with tongues. Then, what tongues is hiding, I simply bring it out. Because tongues is revelation, prophecy, doctrine, or knowledge hiding in unknown form. I just unhide it. And as I said it in tongues, I will say it in language you understand. I will to do it. It's not God, it is me. Say amen. Say amen. Glory to God. So what am I, have we said tonight? If you can speak in tongues, you can edify anybody here tonight. And what it means? You can. And you should. And you will. You just make up your mind. This is what I'm going to do. So, 2-3 weeks back when we first did it, many people didn't think they could. But surprisingly, they did. Notice there's no keyboard, so this is dry run. Let's play keyboard small so I can be in the spirit. Where were you before? I can be in. I just want to be in the spirit. I want to be. Let me enter. There's a room. I can see. No. So it says, how do I become conscious of that realm that I belong to? If I come to you, speak with tongues. So we're going to speak in tongues for about a minute now. Why are we doing it for just a minute? Why can't we do it for one pastor? I need 1 hour the way I am. No. Why don't you need 1 hour? When you come together, we are together. There's a stronger unction. When we come together means that there will always be a flow because there's always somebody to minister to. Do you understand what I just said? It's so important. When you're on your own, you may need 1 hour to get out of the mind realm and the sense realm. But when we are together, we are, our very presence is helping you tonight. Hallelujah. It's helping you tonight. Now, like I said, until you learn to practice this dry run, you will not be confident that this thing works anytime. It doesn't work only on Sundays. You know, God is always present on Sundays, but sometimes on Wednesdays, he's only half present. The things that we have believed. No. He's always present because you are here. Hallelujah. So let's speak in tongues now. Go ahead and speak in tongues. Consciously. Stop. Listen. Don't do your religious labalaba lubulubu. Open your eyes. If one close your eyes for consider, you can close it. But I say, when you are speaking, listen to what you are saying. You can listen to it. Say, I can listen to it. Let me say something. The reason why your vocabulary has not extended in the spirit is because you don't listen. You can consciously listen to what you are saying and extend the vocabulary. You can move from labalaba lubulubu to something big. I'm just, you are laughing, but I'm being serious. You can extend your vocabulary. You can. These things are not as Spirit of God will, because Spirit of God is already willing. He handed over to us. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. We speak these things not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost what teaches. But we have to be yielded and ready. What does it mean to be yielded? It means you allow yourself to go. The Bible says, he that speaketh, not that he that is made to speak. He that speaketh means that it's of your own accord that you begin. We can begin anytime we want to. We can stop anytime we want to. Paul says, forbid not to speak with tongues. It means the authority to start or to stop lies with us. Convert to prophecy and forbid not. So, how do we enter into prophecy? We first forbid not to speak with tongues. How do we show we forbid not? By speaking in tongues. That's all. So go ahead and speak now. Listen, the earth has it given to the children of men. Therefore, it is given to man authority and right to speak. For that which is in the material realm will respond to the words flowing from a man's lips, words of faith. And so the material realm will change at the instance of the utterance of your lips. For you are a man in authority, you are in charge. And the charge that you have is the strength of the power of his word upon your lips. And therefore, as you speak, understand that that which is temporal will give way to that which is permanent. And that which is permanent are the promise of God. They will prevail, they will speak loud. The promotion will answer. The progress will be seen. The child will come. The blessing made manifest. And all that you desire, according to the word, you will handle with your hands. Hallelujah. Now, malupri kia subrakata, and ka le ne kuprusti ke sitia, say no longer I am behind, say no longer I am forgotten, say no longer things are slow for me, for things cannot be slow for you, for where you are seated is beyond the realm of time. Say not, I am not among those counted to be in the forefront, for he placed you in the forefront. Yelena kuba and suprokuta, listen no longer to the lies of the enemy, for the powers of darkness shall fail, for light shall penetrate and pierce every single form of resistance against the progress that you desire. Stand your ground and see everything called the mountain, quake, quiver, crumble, and it's no more. But the word of God upon your lips will last forever. It will bring you to your desired haven. It will bring you into the fulfillment of that which you've spoken. Stand your ground, stay with it, and you will rejoice at the very end. You rejoice at the very end. Hallelujah. Now, that was prophecy. It encouraged, edified, and strengthened. Carried the hint of revelation here and there because of one or two things that some of us are going. Lamu sefria talagu tekia. A kadu prus tekile gita. Ele shura afridike. Ene grie so sa. It looks as though the money will no longer be paid and you will be cornered, but you will not be cornered, you will not be stranded. Yet 3 days and it will be fully paid. Yet 3 days it will be fully paid. And so you held a piece of paper in your hand and said, item 1 is taken care of, item 2 is taken care of, item 3 is taken care of, but item 4, it is missing. And they said, 1, 2, 3 is enough. But he said, I want 4. They will call you back and add 4. And add 4. And say, we forgot to include this. This also is part of the benefit. This also is part of the benefit. With the song he has compassed me about, with deliverance he has borne me on eagle's wings. Yea, he has strengthened me and put his joy in my heart. My rejoicing therefore is not seasonal, it's not momentary, it's not temporal. My rejoicing is eternal, it is forever. And so gates are open before me, nothing is able to resist force of my rising, for I am rolling with the Holy One, I'm dancing with Jehovah, I'm walking hand in hand with the King of Glory. As the gates open for him, they open for me also. My shout causes the camp of the enemy to tremble, and nothing that has been constituted can stand against my kind. My kind has never been seen before. My kind always prevails in all affairs of life. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Though the entry may be closed and it may be too late to register according to human standards, but the deadline will be shifted on your behalf. And you will find your name on the list, for Jehovah has your name tattooed upon his own palm. And so Maliafra, he has times and seasons in his hands, and he has handed over times and seasons for his son. Even as it's written, he makes all things beautiful in his own time, and therefore he has made you beautiful in this day, the day of salvation, that no entry can can be closed against you successfully. It remains open because the grace of God has opened things up for you again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he says, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? So I started with tongues and I began to unhide it. Which means that the same utterance that I had in tongues is the same utterance I used to interpret. It is the interpretation that profits you. And every one of us can do it at different levels, but we all can do it. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Why? The Spirit of God is always willing to bless and to help. So when you need to ask him, are you willing? He's already in it. He's willing. He wants the saints to be edified. So he says, focus on edifying people. Follow after the activity of love. Have every intention to bless. And the flow of the Spirit will be sure, will be certain. It's never given to show off. It's given to bless men. Hallelujah. Were you blessed just now? That's what the flow is about. So when you stand up and go to someone tonight, have the understanding, I'm going to bless that person. Don't be concerned if you don't know what to say, but you can speak in tongues. It is as you speak in tongues that it draws out what you are meant to say. So to speak, tongues is what we do when we don't know what to do. Did you hear what I said? Tongues is what we do when we don't know what to do, so that we cannot know what to do. That's how we roll. That's how we roll. It is unique to the new creation. Elijah couldn't enjoy this. Moses couldn't enter into this, but you and I can. For God had in mind something better for us. This is the something better for us. Hallelujah. So you're going to go to someone tonight before we round up? At least one person. How do you go? What shall I profit you? What shall I profit you? You're going to go and profit someone tonight. Hallelujah. So I say, how do I start? Start with tongues. What do you end up with? Something to edify them will come out. Don't be afraid. There is no fear here. With joy, draw waters. With that confidence, draw water from the wells of salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Now in the last 3 weeks, if you have already met somebody that you know before, don't go to them again. Go to somebody else. Don't go to your friend. Familiarity. Let me tell you one of the reasons why I can be tough to minister to your friend. You will think you are mimicking what you heard your friend tell you. You understand? The information they've given you, you may confuse it. It's what she told me yesterday. And I'll be saying no. And I say, I'm prophesying. I'm prophesying, Coco. No. That's why, don't start with somebody familiar. Go with somebody that you are not so familiar with. Then go and, so yeah, get up from where you are. Go and meet somebody. You want me to peer you? Go and meet someone. If you are partnerless, maybe you are not working love. So you can start with tongues and then go ahead on to something else. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Let's have our seats. Rejoice. It's the same function to prophesy. Okay, the prophecy will flow forth easier when you have rejoiced. Okay, we'll look into that also. The prophecy will flow forth easier. The revelation will flow forth easier when you learn how to rejoice. So don't quench the spirit in that area of rejoicing. Give expression to joy. It makes utterances flow forth easier. Your interpretation is sharper and clearer. Hallelujah. And you are able to articulate what ought to be said in a better way when you learn how to rejoice. So there's nothing wrong in laughing before you prophesy. When you laugh, you are drawing waters. Hallelujah. With joy, we draw waters from the well of salvation.